You join us. We are in the middle of a teaching series called Our Missional Moment, and we're following the Talking Jesus. You can see the logo there, the Talking Jesus material, which is equipping us as a church for such a time as this, that we want to be a missional church out in our town when the spiritual temperature is rising and God is doing amazing things. So we're looking at living distinctively. I'm going to start with a verse. We're then going to have just a moment to reflect on a question before we move into a video which we'll watch. And on the other side of that, there are a few questions. We'll move into a few discussion groups as we start to process this through and we continue to journey as a church in equipping ourselves and growing. So I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5. This is the very beginning right at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to read from the screen because I think this is the NIV and I've got the NLT in front of me. So, you are the salt of the earth. But what if salt loses its saltiness? How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That first bit we're going to focus on. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is it if salt has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will just be thrown out and be trampled underfoot, it as worthless. Let's just take a moment to reflect. How can we make sure we don't lose our saltiness? And just take a moment just to consider that yourself. How can we make sure you in your own life, you in your own relationship with God, how can you make sure that you don't lose your saltiness? It's a strange question. It's a strange question. Salt is a preservative. Salt adds flavor. Salt is really, really useful. But if we lose our flavoring, if we lose that preservative, then salt doesn't have a purpose anymore. And we are salt to the earth. We bring flavor. We bring Jesus to the earth. We also are a preservative to our town, to our neighborhood, to our own personal relationships, to our friendships. We bring a preservative to that as well, that we bring something that then lasts and brings depth. So we're talking about living distinctively. What sets us apart? I love that question that Mike started with at the start. Actually, if we, if suddenly Christianity was no longer a prisonable offence, then would you, as you look at your own life, would you be obviously Christian enough that you would be locked away? We are going to be watching a video, and this is part three. And after this, we're moving into some discussion questions based on how can we be living a life that is distinct and is set apart, yet is also salt of the earth, bringing, you know, being part of the earth. Can we watch that video, please, Dave?
So one of the last things that Jesus said when he was here on the earth was, go and make disciples of everyone, but everyone has to start with someone. So where exactly do we start? I'm here in the city to get practical.
I try and live so that people actually recognise that I'm a Christian. And so I hope that by living it, they're attracted to that kingdom.
Anna is also in a city, but taking things slightly more global.
In an ever-evolving world of technological advances, our reach is not limited to people physically around us. I'm talking about social media.
I realised that a lot of my friends wouldn't necessarily come and ask me questions to my face about Jesus, but they would quite secretly watch a video of mine on Facebook.
And I've come up country to the Lake District, where I'm checking out a beautiful hotel here on the shore of Lake Windermere.
Friends' recommendations is one of the most powerful sales, marketing, presentation tools we can ever have. You know, if a friend tells you somewhere's really good, or a family member does, then you're going to want to check it out.
This is Talking Jesus. So you're about to book a really special holiday or meal out. How do you know where to book? There's reviews, recommendations, brochures. Whose opinion do you trust? Hi, Simon.
Hi, Jo. Welcome to Lowood Bay.
Good to meet you.
Good to have you here.
To get some insight into our decision-making, I'm meeting the owner of this hotel to see what brings his customers in.
My background's food. I love food. I was trained as a chef, so yeah, really important that we provide fantastic experiences for all our guests.
Brilliant, it's lovely. And you're really into the details of everything, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and thinking about peer-to-peer review and what our customers are thinking, that can be a great source of information for us as the hotel. We can go on all the websites, it's generally available, we can look and read and see what people are experiencing. And this, again, when people are spending, you know, their hard-earned money with us, we want to create something really, really memorable and really special. So we can use the sites to actually see what's great and what's on trend and what's exciting out there across the world now.
So we're talking about reviews and recommendations. How important is that to you?
They're really important. I mean, ultimately, if you know someone who's been there, you're going to ring them up and ask them or send them an email. But if you don't and you're thinking about going somewhere, how are you going to find out about it? Well, review sites, that's what people do now, and it gives you that complete range of honest reviews, and you can make a judgment based on that, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Should we keep going?
Let's do it.
Back in the city, Dickie is finding out what it means to be intentional about how we live our lives.
So whether you live in a big city like London or a rural town or village, there's just so many people in our lives, colleagues and family and friends and neighbours. So how do we know who to share our faith with and where do we start? I'm on the way to meet someone who's doing just that in the way he lives his life at work.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Dickie.
How are you? Good to see you.
Great to meet you.
So you work here in the city?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I've not really dressed for the occasion. How long have you worked in the city?
21 years.
21 years, yeah. Wow. And I've heard also that you have a bit of a passion for jogging.
Yeah, I love jogging.
Do you?
It's about lunchtime. Do you fancy joining me? It's when I normally run. Let's go and get
sure.
changed.
Okay. So, 21 years working in the city, high pressure, high intensity. What does that actually look like, being a Christian in that environment?
Wow. It's good fun. I think the city has its own pressures, but actually it's been very clear of my values. So very early on, understanding what my values are for working in the city, family life, being a Christian, and sticking to them.
How do you ensure that you live distinctively within that environment?
Yeah. I try and live so that people actually recognise that I'm a Christian. And so I hope that by living it, they're attracted to that kingdom, that experience and that love, peace, righteousness that I carry. And actually they realise that I have solutions to often their problems, be it prayer or just having the wisdom of heaven to impart. There's some horrific situations that people are experiencing with bereavement, divorce. And actually people being drawn to me and actually having time to pray for them, stand with them, support with them, encourage them, and bring hope to what feels like a hopeless situation.
Great. And then it's obviously a very corporate environment. Do you need to be sensitive about talking about Jesus, talking about your faith?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's linked to being aware of myself and work colleagues and the environment I'm in, wisdom, sensitivity, and actually praying about what God wants me to raise in a particular meeting, in an environment, in a leadership team meeting, whatever context I'm in. I've got a really good example. Recently, a colleague went through a tragedy with his family. I just got to be able to pray with him and just to minister him and share. And the testimony was what was going on for him. Having prayed, things shifted for him. And right. So there was a testimony that I could take to him, well, I've been praying for you and this is what's happened. I believe it's God that has worked miraculously.
Amazing. All right, well, thanks for the jog and the beautiful view.
I think it's stunning, isn't it?
Spend every lunch hour down here as long as the sun's shining. But yeah, thanks so much. Shall we jog back?
Yeah, definitely.
Great.
Oh, Simon, it's been lovely looking around
here. Great, it's been fabulous having you here.
Let's go meet Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Hi, Rachel.
Have a good morning.
Yeah, great.
It's fun. Been nice. So we've been talking about peer-to-peer reviews and personal reviews. How does it relate to talking Jesus?
Well, in the similar way that like people would look here at a review page or to find out about how to book, which hotel to book, and then this hotel, they'd look for that. They look at our lives, people look at our lives as, in a way as a review page about Jesus. So we might say we're following Jesus or let people know that we go to church, and people then are going to watch us to see what that looks like.
Right. So it's not just what we say, it's actually how we live our lives.
Yeah.
Do you think people have ended up coming here because of a friend or...?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, friends' recommendations is one of the most powerful sales, marketing, presentation tools we can ever have. You know, if a friend tells you somewhere's really good, or a family member does, then you're going to want to check it out because you trust them. Ultimately, that's what it's about. And that level of trust, the closer you are to people, it makes a huge difference to our whole, how we present ourselves. So, yeah, looking at the review sites, absolutely critically important.
We discovered that friends and family were really, really key. So if some people were brought up in a Christian family and then their family relationships are really important because in a way they're reviewing how their parents might live out the faith and that might help them making a decision for faith or not. But also then you really review your friends. If you're not in a Christian family, your friends are so important. And how they live is how you will assess. In the same way as you'd assess a hotel, you would assess whether or not following Jesus in a way works. Or is it a good thing for life?
Yeah. I mean, if I could use the example of my brother, I mean, he's been a Christian now for many years, but
I think we talked about Christianity probably twice in the previous 6 years since I'd become a Christian, and they weren't terribly positive reactions. But he just walked into my office and he said, I can't do this on my own anymore. I want what you've got. And of course, afterwards, when we started talking about that, it was clear that it was about the fact that he'd been watching, you know, for years, how we'd lived our lifestyle out. That's myself, my wife, and I think, you know, as Christians, we need to be aware that we are that picture book that people can watch.
Yeah, how we live is so important, isn't it? Just like with here, the culture around us. So it actually says in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 3, I think it's verse 15, it talks about always being able to give a reason for the hope that is within us. So that as we live our lives, we're supposed to look like, if you like, the people of hope. Just how your brother walked in, such a brilliant example, how your brother walked into the office and went, look, I want what you've got. And that's how we should live, so that people ask us, well, what is it you've got? You've got this hope, I want to know about it. And then it says that we should answer with gentleness and with respect at those times. Yeah. So again, the character and personality of Jesus coming through, even the way we might answer that question.
Yeah.
So I think it's living distinctively. In fact, I heard a great term, someone told me the other day, that they use in marketing called brand ambassadors.
Yeah.
And in a way, I guess we're brand ambassadors for Jesus. Do you find that some of the best ambassadors, if you like, brand ambassadors for your hotel, are people who visited?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we call them raving fans. So these are people who just love what we do and they're out there telling their friends, telling their family. And I think for me, you know, In the Christian life, if we can be raving fans about Jesus, you know, and people look to us and want to know and are going to ask us those questions.
The best people to reach people, the best recommendation for Jesus is not somebody distant, is not someone out there. It's your friend, it's your brother, it's the people who go, come and see.
Yeah. So
so many of us live part of our lives online, keeping in touch with our friends through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and Snapchat. Can we talk Jesus and live distinctively here? Today I'm meeting Becky, who would say that the answer is yes. So was it a conscious choice for you to share your faith on social media?
Yeah, it was definitely a conscious decision. I realised that a lot of my friends wouldn't necessarily come and ask me questions to my face about Jesus, but they would quite secretly watch a video of mine on Facebook or watch statuses and things. So I knew that it was a great way to get to people like that.
Right. And have you had mostly positive response? What kind of response have you had, like, from friends and family?
I've had a lot of negative, but I've also had a lot of positive, mixed bag, really. And then, obviously, sometimes you don't even get comments from people. Some people just don't comment at all.
Right.
So they're silent watchers as well.
Right. And I know that there was actually one friend that, in particular, took it quite badly, wasn't there?
Well, she was actually just about to delete me as a friend because she was getting so annoyed about all of my Christian posts. But something intrigued her, and she stopped and actually got in touch with me. She ordered a painting off me, but she said that later that was actually just so that she'd get together with me for a cuppa to talk about Christianity. So we did 2 hours, we spoke about Jesus, what Christianity offers, and that just basically changed her whole life because she was just about to move to Dubai to be with her Muslim boyfriend. She was looking into Islam. So she, within the course of 2 months, she went from being an atheist and looking into Islam to becoming a born-again Christian, and now she's really, you know, she just loves telling people about Jesus.
So she's still going strong and...
Yeah,
you know,
so she's doing her own little videos now on Facebook, which are now, you know, some of them are reaching over 3,600 people.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And so if for those people that are perhaps, you know, perhaps like me, feeling a bit hesitant to share their faith on social media, what would you say to them?
I'd say just go for it. What have you got to lose? You know, the only thing that they can do is hide you from their news feed.
Right.
And also, it's actually a lot easier on Facebook because they can choose to either watch it or not watch it. So it's not like you're sitting there and they have to listen to you. So I would say it's actually quite easy to do it on Facebook. And just don't worry about what comments you get.
Right. And do you have any top tips?
I would say be yourself. Mm-hmm. Do a really inspiring message, maybe something that's happened in your own life, an answer to prayer or something that's going to be really encouraging, and keep it really short, maybe like 2-3 minutes maximum, because else people would just turn off.
Right, and I guess often the audience for most people will probably be friends and family anyway, right?
So, yeah, you know, they're going to know you, they're going to know that that's your faith, so you're not doing anything kind of out of the ordinary, you're just maybe being a little bit more bold and putting it on Facebook or whatever your social media is. So.
And they're interested in your life,
yeah.
So that's just an extension of...
Exactly. Yeah, I'd say go for it.
Yeah,
go
amazing.
For it.
Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah.
In this session, we've looked at the many different realms of our everyday lives in which we meet people that don't yet know Jesus. We've seen the importance of living distinctively, as well as being brand ambassadors for Jesus. So I'm here to meet Ossian to hear the final challenge. So, Ossian, where do we go from here?
I think we pick up the challenge to begin to pray for those people, engage them and invite them to our world.
So, praying then is really important. It's a real key part of...
Absolutely critical, very critical. Because in prayer, we ask for God's help. And in the process, he deals with our hearts, he deals with their hearts. So there's the balance of everything. He brings the whole work together. It's his assignment. So in prayer, he leads and guides us into how and how best to do it.
For us, for me, those doing this course, what would you say to us to get started?
I would say pick up the challenge, personalize it, identify 5 people that you begin to pray for, 5 people that you want to begin to engage with. And as you continue to pray for them, God begins to work in your heart as well. He prepares you. As he prepares you, he prepares them. And God is the owner of the assignment. He puts all you 3 together, and he will raise opportunities for you to begin to share. Bring them into your world. And in there, an opportunity will arise to share Jesus, and that will bring them to Christ.
Great.
Amazing. I love some of those testimonies in there. What we're going to do now is we're going to turn into groups. Dave, can I have that first slide up? I've got 3 slides with some questions on, which are based on what we've just watched. And the first one is, what does living distinctively look like for you? So have people noticed that you live differently? How do we live differently? And have people noticed that in our lives before? And if so, has that been a positive or negative impact on those people around you? And how has that been on you as well? So what's the impact been on others? But what's the impact been on yourself when you've been living distinctively in a situation where maybe it's been awkward or maybe it's been a pleasure to be different? The next question is, So the next question is, what could you do to be more intentional about meeting people who are not yet Christians? So it is very, very easy as a Christian to live in a Christian bubble, to spend your spare time with those people that look like you, that worship with you, that are part of your church family. That's fantastic. It really, really is. It is really important to be a church family together and to do dinners with each other and to go out and be, you know, to sharpen each other. But it's also important to be putting ourselves out on the front line. So what could you be doing more intentional about meeting people? And then the final question is, how is your praying for five going? So the challenge over the last few weeks has been identifying five people that we want to be praying for regularly. Five people that are not in a relationship with Jesus that you would love to see in a relationship with Jesus. And as that last gentleman, Poseidon, said, when we pray, God changes our hearts and prepares the hearts of those that we are praying for. That is the importance of prayer. That is our step one before we go out and spend time with them, is we start in prayer. So how is that going? So those are the three questions. Those are going to roll around on the screen. If you turn into groups of five, we'll spend probably about 5 minutes or so, maybe towards 10 minutes or so, chatting together about these three questions. We'll leave the conversation there. We won't feedback, so whatever's chatted about there is in that circle. So turn into groups of fours or fives, and let's go. So let's wrap those conversations up there. I know that it'd be, let's take these conversations out of here, into our small groups, into a bit of time after the service. I'm encouraged by this verse in Ephesians that we took away with us to the weekend away and brought back with us. The wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Maybe this morning's been a bit of a wake up call for you, that actually, what am I doing to live distinctively? Where can I step outside of my safe Christian bubble? Or what do I need to do different in my life to look different, to set myself apart from others? Maybe this has been a bit of a wake up call for you this morning. We also got talking in our group a bit about brand ambassadors. What do people see? How am I modeling a relationship with Jesus in such a way that it's attractive? How am I ushering the fruits of the Holy Spirit into the relationships of those around me, especially those people that I've been walking with for such a long period of time that actually all they can, maybe they've got a hardened heart, but actually how can I soften that heart through Holy Spirit? This is, you know, it comes to this other verse in Ephesians. God's able to do immeasurably more than we can ever dream or imagine. And we need to take our biggest dreams and recognize that actually God can surpass that. And it can only be through the work of the Holy Spirit. And we have to begin in prayer. We have to begin by lifting up these people that we love so dearly, or those people that we see as we're walking to work and you've made eye contact with on the train a few times and going, oh, I wonder what their life is like, whatever it looks like. And taking those opportunities, you know, when we have those opportunities, we'll chat in our group. Maybe it's really easy to drop in a very quick prayer for someone you've never met before. You know, it's the person at the till, and there you got chatting with them. Spend a bit of time. You know, actually, time is costly to people. So how can we be generous with our time to engage in that conversation in such a way that you can then offer a prayer? You know, if they've been saying, oh, I'm struggling with this, or I've been away on holiday, whatever it looks like, have that opportunity then say, can I pray for you? I'm a Christian, and actually I'd love to pray into that situation. Sometimes those are brave steps, but sometimes those are easier than some of those long-term relationships that we hold, where we really need God to be at work to move and shape and form us in such a way that we can then impact and be the best ambassador we can for those that live with us or those that we live close with. So we're going to finish up there in this part, and I'm going to pass back to our lovely worship. Thank you so much, Rachel and Jane, for what you're bringing this morning. So why don't we stand, and do you want me to pray, or do you want to pray, Rachel? Yeah, well, let's stand as we move into a time of worship. Yeah, Jesus, we are so excited to witness what you are doing in our town. We're so excited to see what you are doing in this moment in time that there is more and more openness to Christianity. There's more and more openness to a relationship with you, Jesus. And we just pray that we are seeing those moments of people turning to faith, those moments of people beginning to trust or opening the Bible, that happens in those relationships that we've been praying for. We want to be the best we possibly can for you, Jesus. We want to lead a life that models and reflects a life worth living with you, in such a way that we are attractive, that someone will notice something different about us. There is an atmosphere, there is a spirituality, there is something unique that is different in us that cannot be replicated by anything on this planet. Mm. And we thank you that you provide us that spirit that travels with us, that makes us unique, that sets us apart, that is our guide, that is our comfort. Mm. And we just want to pray and bring the name of Jesus over our families, over our towns. Yeah.